To discuss the strategy and tactics interrogators might pursue, we turn to Ruel Gerecht. He's a resident fellow at the American Enterprise Institute in Washington, D.C., and he's formerly a Middle Eastern specialist for the Central Intelligence Agency. Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
How is the interrogation likely proceeding?
I suspect they're trying to find out initially whether he has a desire to cooperate at all. Once they determine whether that's the case, and I think they'll know that fairly quickly, then they sort of have two different routes that aren't mutually exclusive. One is they can try to be a little bit more aggressive with him, to try to put a little bit of chill into his spine and see if he would be willing to talk. If that doesn't work, then they're probably going to have to set the stage for a rather long weeks, months of debriefing.
Just a point of order, as we just heard, Secretary Donald Rumsfeld said Saddam Hussein was being treated much like a prisoner of war. He stopped short of actually calling him a POW. Would that distinction have any effect on the interrogation?
I doubt it. One, Americans don't torture. I mean, the Americans just don't do it. Now, it's possible that they could use certain aggressive tactics, but I think those tactics would be used regardless of whether you had POW status or not.
Could you walk us through some of the tactics that they might use?
Well, I mean, again, they're going to make, I think, that decision fairly early whether there is much point to use sleep deprivation, to use light deprivation, or any of those techniques. They may decide very quickly that, in fact, this is the wrong approach. I mean, Americans are fairly limited here because we will not engage in torture. So, I mean, there are certain things you can suggest you're going to do, but once you eliminate the element of physical pain, of increasing physical pain, people become quite, you know, readily aware of that. So they know that you're not going to pull their fingernails out. So they don't have to fear that. The most fearful thing they might do is just suggest that it won't be the Americans who will be in charge of his interrogation, it will be Iraqis. But if that doesn't cause him to become more loquacious, I think they're going to have to try to use a very lengthy technique where they try to pick apart his past and his mind. And I think to do that, they need to ensure that the interrogators, or at least one of the interrogators there, is truly an expert on Saddam Hussein and has an encyclopedic grasp of Saddam Hussein's history, because I think you're going to have to play to his narcissism, to his rampaging id, and slowly try to take it apart and see if, in fact, he is willing to talk.
You note his ego. He is a man of tremendous ego and a great sense of importance in his nation. Do they intend to play on that in some way, or conversely remind him of just how far he's fallen? Will they play on his vulnerabilities or play to his ego?
Well, I think they'll try to do both. I mean, it is conceivable that Saddam Hussein will turn out to be a wimp. If that's the case, then you would certainly play on his vulnerabilities, his sense of isolation. I think he knows that, you know, down the road he's going to be executed. So there's a certain limit to what you can promise him. It's more a question of his desire to, you know, talk to history. And you never know how that's going to play until you actually begin the process. So what there has to be is almost a complete breakdown. He more or less has to melt away and keep talking because he wants to, either because of the interrogators have established a relationship or he himself has essentially lost his immune system and wants to talk about everything.
Thanks so much.
Sure.
Ruel Gerecht is a resident fellow at the American Enterprise Institute in Washington, D.C. He was formerly a Middle Eastern specialist for the Central Intelligence Agency.